It's 7:45. Good morning. I'm Anthony Morneau. A 2001 federal rule banning road construction and tree harvesting in national forests is being challenged in Alaska. Eric Gladys of the Texas News Service reports.
The Trump administration is moving to reverse protections for the country's largest national forest, and opponents fear national forests in Texas and other states could be next. A U.S. House committee is hearing testimony on a proposal to fully exempt the Tongass National Forest in Alaska from the 2001 roadless rule. Lexi Hackett has lived in the area all her life, and as a commercial fisher, she's concerned opening the Tongass land for development would hurt crucial salmon habitat and the local fishing industry.
Really breathtaking and special place that deserves to be protected, not just out of the philosophy that we should keep some things in their beautiful natural state in our world, but also because it does provide an abundance of resources.
Supporters of the exemption claim roadless restrictions limit economic growth and say more access is necessary for timber and energy extraction. Hackett worries that a rollback in the Tongass could create a domino effect for all 58 million roadless acres in the U.S. Texas has 755,000 acres of land in the Angelina, Davy Crockett, Sabine, and Sam Houston National Forests, including 4,000 acres protected under the roadless policy. Former Forest Service Chief Mike Dombeck thinks the timber industry is simply trying to gain more access than other interests to harvest old-growth timber. He adds that recreation, tourism, and commercial fishing industries make up one-fourth of the economy and jobs in that part of Alaska.
So that, compared to the 1% of the timber industry, really should tell us that the future of the Tongass National Forest is really about recreation, tourism, clean water, and keeping wild places wild.
Dombeck notes it's estimated that the nation is losing open space at a rate of 2 football fields every minute, and he adds that national forest lands belong to all Americans. Comments on the proposed changes to the roadless rule are being accepted until December 17th. Support for this reporting was provided by the Pew Charitable Trusts. This is Eric Gladys reporting for the Texas News Service.
Would local reporters improve the coverage of the impeachment hearings? Here's commentator Algernon DeMassa.
What if we sent some local reporters to Washington, D.C. to help cover the impeachment hearings? I mean, not to slight the expertise of seasoned Capitol Hill journalists, but while digesting coverage of the public hearings into the potential impeachment of President Donald Trump, my attention kept being drawn to the D.C. media bubble. For those who are not always glued to political news coverage, but are concerned about the potential removal of a president, analytical news stories, the what to expect and takeaway stories, the video recaps with background commentary, the panel discussions, and the excerpts heard on public radio, those are all helpful, as long as they're good, as long as they're talking to you. But there were some stunningly bad stories on major platforms. One report on the NBC News website complained that the first two witnesses, quote, lacked the pizzazz necessary to capture public attention, unquote. They even misspelled pizzazz. But it's not about capturing public attention, is it? A widely criticized report by Reuters treated the proceedings like a reality television show and called the substance dull, reporting little on the facts or arguments presented. Okay, public opinion does certainly matter politically, but there's also serious substance here. For anyone interested in that substance, there was plenty of pizzazz. And yet some career reporters claimed there was nothing to see here. And yet we learned a lot. We learned about the president's interest in a debunked conspiracy theory about the 2016 elections. We learned about pressure on Ukraine to announce a criminal investigation of a domestic political rival of the president. We learned about an informal diplomatic back channel working at odds with official U.S. policy in Ukraine. We saw sworn testimony about the damage done to the State Department during this administration. And we also deserved reporting on how the Republicans questioned the witnesses, defended the president, and challenged the proceeding itself. Seeing veteran journalists file stories describing the possible impeachment and removal of a U.S. president as boring reminded me of students who compose term papers on the topic of not knowing what to write about, and they submit them on the eve of the due date. And I also thought of local reporters who cover public meetings every week. Sometimes it is tough to write entertaining stories about court hearings or water policy, planning and zoning, budgeting. And these stories have to be accurate and informative while also keeping the reader's attention. But that's the job, and many do manage it. They succeed when they write directly for and to their community, when they talk to you. Let's send a competent yet obscure small-town government reporter, as endangered as that species is, to cover these impeachment hearings as if they were writing for their local papers, with a sense of their community's questions and concerns. Better yet, send a few. Comparing their stories would be fascinating and provide an alternative to the feedback loop commingling large media organizations with the elites they cover. With the weekly Desert Sage Commentary, I'm Algernon Damassa.
DeMassa's opinions are his own and do not necessarily represent the views of KRWG or NMSU.